Permit me to share a real burden that I've had on my heart for some time. Turn with me, please, to a verse in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we won't read the whole parable, but going back to the beginning of the chapter, we find in verse 18 it says, Mark 4 and 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Now turn back to the Old Testament for a verse at the latter end of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, and verse 24. Proverbs 30 and verse 24. "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." And then it's the first one that I had on my heart. "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." One more verse in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 27. Lamentations 3 and 27. "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Going back to Mark chapter 4, I'm sure most of us are very familiar with what is commonly called the parable of the sower. It's repeated several times in the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And there we have four different kinds of soil. The seed is always good. Nothing wrong with the seed, but the soil varies. Most of us are familiar with it. But in those four kinds of soil, typically speaking, we have the sphere of the devil, the seed that falls by the wayside on a rough, or rather a hard-packed pathway, and the birds come and pick it up. We have the sphere of nature, or the sphere of the flesh, where the seed falls on stony ground where it doesn't have much depth of earth. Because the ground warms quickly, the seed grows immediately. But then when things get a little tough, when there isn't enough moisture, it has no depth of earth, no root going down deeper, the plant dies. And then here we have the sphere of the world. We won't talk so much about the good ground. That's the sphere of the Holy Spirit. There's fruit there. And I trust everyone who is hearing me is a true believer. We can't count on that, but we're speaking to believers. And in the world of today, we need the solemn warning that we get in this verse, and we'll just turn back to it in Mark chapter 4. Because I'm going to apply it to a believer. Yes, in the sphere of the world, often the seed doesn't grow because the things of this world choke it out. But there's an application for you and me as believers. And you will notice that the first thing mentioned in that 19th verse of Mark 4 is the cares of this life. Do we know what they mean? I think we all do. Even young children today know what the cares of this life are. Some of you younger ones will probably get a smirk out of this, but I never had a speck of homework till I got to high school. Not a bit. I know. Back in the dark ages, you're probably saying. But I can remember how hard it hit me when suddenly in high school there was this pile of homework to be done. Oh, cares of this life and so on. Not that there weren't cares before that, but they weren't the same. And the world is getting very complicated and very difficult. And the cares of this life are insidious because they are, to some extent, necessary, aren't they? And we can go to an extreme in ignoring the cares of this life, and sometimes we see that happening, where individuals say, well, I'm just going to put all that aside and drift along and not worry too much about the future, not worry too much about keeping my life in order, not worry too much about where I'm going, how I'm going to provide for myself. The world is too complicated. I don't know which way to turn. Everything's very difficult. And it is. It is. Again, I don't want to reminisce about the good old days, and they weren't always so good. So I don't want to do that. The book of Ecclesiastes warns us about that and says, say not thou what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this matter. Why is that? Because I can't turn back the clock. I can't relive those days, and those who try to are doomed to what we call nostalgia. The pleasure of remembering something in the past and the pain of not being able to recreate it. Isn't that right? But in these Western lands where you and I live, the world is complicated. And the cares of this life can overtake us. And I speak to my own heart. And then following up on that, there are the things called the deceitfulness of riches. And the lusts of other things entering in. They come too. Brother Bob Tony was mentioning them in the reading yesterday and in his address. And how that sometimes those dear believers in more simple cultures seem to have an enjoyment of Christ that shines in their faces. Now, it's not always that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. There are some in these lands that try to turn back the clock, and they work with horses, and they refuse to have electricity and all the rest of it. But that really isn't the answer. Let's turn back now to that verse in the Proverbs. We read it there in chapter 30. And the Lord commends the ants, among other things, for being exceedingly wise because they prepare their meat in the summer. Now you and I might say, well, Bill, wait a minute. How does that square with what the Lord Jesus tells us in the New Testament? To take no thought for the morrow, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Or for your raiment, what ye shall put on. I'm not quoting that strictly word for word, but you know the scripture. And the Lord warned his disciples that taking too much care for all these things was to be like the people of the world. And yet God commends the ants for preparing their meat in the summer. You know, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it keeps everything in perfect balance. And much of the precious truth that we get in God's Word consists of keeping truths that would at first glance seem to be in opposition to each other in proper balance. There is a need not to be too taken up with the cares of this life. I remember well reading in our written ministry, which Michelle was referring to, And it's good to dig into that written ministry. But if you're going to speak, don't dig into it the night before you're going to speak. Dig into it a year before. Meditate on it. Walk in the good of it. And then minister it. But the point is, the brother said in our written ministry, I never forgot it, he said, do I walk through this world with as few cares on my heart and in my mind as if I were lying on my deathbed and I knew that I would very shortly leave this world? Even the world recognizes that. I told this story a few days ago, and some here probably heard me tell it, but about a week or two ago, I turned on my computer, and I have to say, and I'm being honest, I do not make a habit of browsing the internet to see what I can find. But in the server that I have, sometimes they put little things on that they think you might be interested in, and this one caught my eye, After I Die. And I thought, that's interesting. I wonder what they're going to say. So I clicked on it, and here were a whole bunch of things that suddenly wouldn't matter anymore. All those emails that are coming into my inbox will remain unanswered. All those texts that people are sending me won't matter at all anymore. That work that I was supposed to finish at my job, it won't be a problem anymore. And it went down through a whole lot of things, including some very real things such as loved ones weeping over my dead body and so on. The world understands that all that won't matter anymore. Of course, sad to say, the article ended up by saying something that was really very sad. It said, and all those mysteries of life and death that I never understood before will suddenly become clear. Yes, I thought. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, they will become painfully clear. If you have rejected Christ, but this isn't a gospel meeting, we just allude to that. The point is, there is a need to decomplicate our lives, to lay aside those things that aren't going to matter in eternity in order that our hearts and minds can be filled with what really matters. Does that mean I don't do the best at my job? Does that mean I don't study as well as I should? Of course not. Whatever I do, I ought to do it as unto the Lord. But I do say, there is such a thing as perhaps not getting the highest honors in every sphere in this world in order to seek what someone has called the degree AUG. Can some of you young people guess what that refers to, the degree AUG? It's found in 2 Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And I knew a brother, he's long since with the Lord, who could have been at the top of his class in engineering, but who gave his time and his energy more to the Lord. He didn't neglect his studies, but he didn't stand at the top of his class and win the gold medal, because he used more of his time for the Lord. Was it worth it? Indeed it was. But then going back to this in Proverbs here, what about preparing our meat in the summer? Oh, God is a God of order. God is not a God of laziness. And we won't take time to refer to them, but I'm sure you're familiar with many verses in the Proverbs where the sluggard and the slothful man is condemned time after time after time. On and on the verses go. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Same imagery as we have here. Is it right to order our lives in a proper way? Yes, it is. Is it right, and I say it very specially, not merely because I want to single you out, but for young men, you can know the mind of God for your lives. It is God's order that we work and labor with our hand, as we had brought before us yesterday, the thing that is good. For what purpose? In order that we might provide for our needs? That's understood. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? That he might have to give to him that needeth. That verse is in Ephesians 4, and it was referred to in the readings. It is important. And it's becoming more difficult. And I see young people today, and I don't show my feelings as much as some people do, but it really does make me weep, at least inwardly, to see young people spend time and energy, maybe getting an education, maybe getting training, and then finding that there's no job for them. And it's not just a problem in North America. A brother in India shared this with me a while ago. He said, "Brother Bill, it's a real problem where we live, because we live in a depressed area. And it's not irrigated. So they grow only one crop a year, in contrast to some areas in southern India where they can grow 3-4 crops a year because of irrigation." So he said even young men in the south can work in the fields, and although they don't make big money, they can survive. But up here, what can you do working for one crop a year? That is, working for someone, not with your own land. And if they want to get work, they have to go away to the big cities. And then the housing is expensive. And sometimes there's no fellowship. He said it's a hard issue to face. It is. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I can only say to each one of us that if you and I want to honor what God says in His Word, and I have said that to some of those dear brethren, if the Scripture tells you and me to work and to support ourselves and to support our families and to have something left over to give away, I think we can go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to obey the Scripture. I want to do that. Show me how." But then I better be ready to take what the Lord gives me. I better be ready to take what the Lord gives me to do. I better not be picky and choosy and say, "Well, Lord, I don't like that kind of work," or "I don't like that sort of thing." But you know, the Lord is good. And He generally, according to that verse, we won't turn to it, but it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." But more accurately, it should read, "Train up a child according to the tenor of his way." And if we look to the Lord, He delights to give that which is not only something we can do, but something that is according to the tenor of our way. Not always. I knew those in past generations who had the brains and who had the will to get an education and do perhaps a professional job. And they did manual labor all their lives because they grew up in poor families and they couldn't afford to go to school. And they did it. And they did it for God's glory. But where is the verse that caps all this off? Turn to Matthew's Gospel. We've been there already. We'll turn to it again. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and this verse is repeated elsewhere, but this will do. Matthew chapter 6, after He has told the people, the Lord Jesus, not to be overly concerned about where their next meal was coming from, where they were going to get something to wear and so on, He doesn't say, "Don't do anything about it." He says, "Don't be anxious about it." That's where the problem comes in. A godly care and a godly concern for the order and godliness of my life is right. Anxiety is wrong. And notice what He says in verse 33 of chapter 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I say to your heart and mind, that is God's promise. Isn't that encouraging? It's God's promise that all these things shall be added unto you. Does that mean that I'll get everything I want? No, it doesn't. And as we had brought before us yesterday, how much better if I don't have everything I want in order that there's more room in my heart for the things that the new life really wants. But if I put the Lord first in my life and seek the kingdom of God, now maybe perhaps that phrase needs explaining. What does that mean, the kingdom of God? Well, in a general way, and we won't take a lot of time to enlarge on it, but in a general way, the kingdom of God, as an expression in Scripture, speaks of a moral condition, a moral state in your life and mine, which is in keeping with those who recognize the rightful King. The Lord Jesus came into this world and offered Himself as the rightful King. And man said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And they cast him out. But now what? The Lord Jesus has shown us what the moral character of His kingdom is. And He's left you and me here to display it. And so you will find throughout the New Testament, and very specially in Paul's epistles, that he preaches not only the gospel of the grace of God, but he preaches the things concerning the kingdom of God. Why? Oh, because simply knowing Christ as our Savior, wonderful though it is not in itself going to display Christ to this world. There needs to be a walk in keeping with it. And so Paul preached the kingdom of God, and preached very clearly that those who carried on with the things of the flesh could not inherit the kingdom of God, and so on. But then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, talks about that which that Holy Spirit will produce in us, if only we'll let Him. And if we seek those things, and His righteousness, you know, Scripture tells us that we are made the righteousness of God in Him. But God expects that righteousness to be practically displayed in you and me. And if we are actively seeking that, the Lord makes a promise, all these things shall be added unto you. And you know, those who have taken this verse at its face value and trust of the Lord have found it to be true. Now don't get me wrong. You and I will be tested. And we will all be tested in different ways. We heard prayer in one of the prayer meetings about those who were out of a job. I have freely to confess to you that I have never had that experience. Usually medical doctors don't get fired and put out of a job unless they behave themselves so badly that their license is revoked or something like that. But the point is, I've never had that experience. But I know in my own heart what it must feel like suddenly not to have that job. And it's a tremendous test. And sometimes it goes on and on. And I've talked and I've prayed with those who have had that experience. And sometimes said, what am I going to do? Very, very difficult thing. The Lord says, all these things shall be added unto you. Young people, perhaps you find the going very difficult. You say, I'm not sure what to do. I want to please the Lord. I can tell you with absolute assurance that He will make a way for you if you are seeking His interests. You never saw a nation that sent an ambassador to another nation that didn't normally and in the normal course of events provide for that ambassador to do the work that was given for them to do. Now, I know there may be nations that are very, very poor, and once in a while that could be a problem. I haven't run across that, but it could happen. But in the normal course of events, if a nation sends its ambassador to another country, they provide him with what he needs, or her with what she needs, in order to do the job that is given them to do. And the Lord has left you and me here in this world to look after His interests. The Lord makes a promise. I say to each one of us, but particularly if I may be allowed to say this to the beloved young people, you're not working for a poor government. You're not working for a poor country when you're working for the Lord. You're not sent out by a country that says, I can't afford to give you any more. All the wealth of the world is at the Lord's disposal. And He has promised in Philippians chapter 4, and Paul says so with absolute assurance, my God shall supply all your need out of His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? If the Lord said that, that would be enough for me. But He doesn't say that. He says, according to His riches. Let me tell you one story that some here are probably familiar with. Maybe I shouldn't tell it, but it illustrates the point. Our brother Jonathan LeBen, whose name is somewhat well known because of Morningstar Camp, sometimes gets to do carvings for people in high places and who are categorized by being the rich and the famous. And I well remember one time there was a man there who came to Morningstar Camp for a visit and stayed for the evening and for the gospel meeting, whose name was and is, he's still alive, Richard Petty. Some of you will know who he is. Has to do with NASCAR and racing and so on, car racing. Very well-known name, famous man, multimillionaire. I believe the Lord was working with him. And the night he was there, I saw him in that gospel meeting with the tears running down his face. And I believe he got peace and came to Christ. When he left Morningstar Camp, he said, you know, this has been a unique experience. He said, only one little boy asked me for an autograph. That was most unusual. But what was even more unusual, no one passed a collection plate. Because whenever he'd been to any kind of a meeting before, people had expected him to give out of his riches. And that made him squirm a little bit. He didn't like being singled out like that. Oh, Richard Petty's here. Well, pass the collection plate around. Get a good contribution. I won't go into detail. But he was so impressed that later on he wanted to help out Morningstar Camp. And I won't give the details because I don't suppose I should. But all I will say is, when he gave out of the goodness of his heart, he didn't give just out of his riches. He gave according to his riches. Far more than anyone would ever put in any collection plate. God is going to look after you and me, not out of his riches merely, but according to his riches. May he give us the grace and the wisdom in these last days. On the one hand, to avoid the cares of this life. That's one extreme, one ditch that we can fall into. On the other hand, to avoid that loose, lackadaisical lifestyle that says, so what? Somebody will feed me. Somebody will look after me. And there are a lot of social safety nets in North America which we can be thankful for. But the answer is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A Christian who is seeking God's interests in this world will never be lazy, but he will look after the Lord's interests, and the Lord will look after him or her.
42 in the appendix.